The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation.
Leaders from many Western, from the United States, France, the U.K., all are going to make a visit to Tripoli today, to Libya. This is the first time since the ousting of Muammar Gaddafi that leaders of this stature have visited the country. And here's Jeffrey Feltman. He's the U.S. Assistant Secretary of State. He arrived in Libya on Wednesday.
The United States and our international partners have an enduring commitment to supporting the Libyan people as they chart their country's future.
He's joined by French President Nicolas Sarkozy, British Prime Minister David Cameron. They arrived earlier this morning, and the three leaders will meet with the National Transitional Council. That trip is expected to go pretty smoothly, and it marks a pretty important moment for the U.S. and for NATO, actually. We're joined now by Stephen Kinzer, author of Reset, Iran, Turkey, and America's Future. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
Well, let's begin in Libya, which, you know, it was such a change from the weeks after the end of, I guess, a revolution or an uprising or whatever you may call it in Libya, as opposed to Iraq. It's not American soldiers pulling down statues and putting up American flags. It's Libyans putting up the flags of France and the UK and the United States.
It's understandable that there be some effervescence at this point, but nonetheless, remember that after the American takeover of Iraq, there was a period of calm and jubilation and a sense that everything was going to go well now. So for those who would like to celebrate the triumph in Libya, my advice would be to celebrate it soon, because this is probably the high point and the trouble is yet to begin.
Well, let's talk then about the trouble, which is already beginning. Of course, we had the incident earlier in which Israel had to evacuate their diplomats from their embassy in Cairo because protesters were throwing stones and attacking outside of their embassy. We just have word today that Israel is having to evacuate their staff from the Israeli embassy in Jordan because there's an anti-Israeli protest going there in Amman. You know, what is the Arab Spring is liberation for many peoples could signal trouble, further trouble for Middle East peace.
It's certainly true that this is a change more than just on the elite level, and that does mean change. Sometimes there's a view among Americans that when there's big change in the world, we can get what we want and there's no cost to it. Just as we thought that we could have globalization and we'd never lose any jobs, we did have this sense that we could have democracy in the Middle East, and that wouldn't result in any loss of our own strategic position. The reality, however, is that you are not going to have a democratic regime in any Arab country that is friendly toward Israel. The only reason those regimes were friendly toward Israel is we were paying them billions of dollars to do that, and that's one of the reasons ultimately why they fell. So we're about to see a change in strategic relationships in that part of the world, and for the position of the United States and the Israeli government, those are going to amount to strategic losses.
Well, one of those losses, it could be coming up very soon. We're speaking with Stephen Kinzer, author of Reset, Iran, Turkey, and America's Future. And we have the headline today saying that Palestinians expect to submit a bid for full UN membership on September 23rd. This is something that the United States has been working very hard to do either delay or avoid completely. Is it a sign, the fact that they're going forward with it, is that a sign of America's weakening influence in the region?
Absolutely. In the past, it wouldn't be imaginable that the Palestinian Authority would reject American pressure on such an important issue. But now they see the balance in the region changing. The Egyptian regime, which has been the bulwark of Israel's foreign relations in that part of the world, has now changed to one that is much more pro-Palestinian. The only other country in that region that was pro-Israeli was Jordan, but Jordan can't stand alone with Israel if Egypt isn't there. So the Palestinian state issue, I think, does represent a statement by the Palestinians to the United States, essentially saying, we played your game for so many years and sat through negotiations and followed the Oslo process and all these different peace initiatives, and nothing came of it. So now we're going to try a different approach, even if you don't like it. This is something new.
All right. Well, I mean, you mentioned Jordan, and in fact, as I said earlier, there Israeli radio stations say almost all the staff has been cleared out of the embassy in Jordan because there's anti-Israeli protests going on there. And then, of course, another key ally for Israel in the past has been Turkey, and those relationships seem to be eroding as well. It appears that we're going to have a complete diplomatic reshuffling.
The Turkey relationship with Israel is also an interesting one. I think Americans deceived ourselves into believing this was a true love relationship when they got very close during the late 90s and the early part of this decade. In fact, this was a relationship engineered in Washington. It was we who kind of pushed the Israelis and the Turks together. And you're seeing a process in Turkey in a much more democratic way than you're seeing it in Arab countries of democracy emerging. There's a long period of time in Turkey when foreign policy was shaped without much attention to what the people of Turkey wanted. Mm-hmm. Turkey has now made the breakthrough to democracy that we always encourage them to make. But now that they've done that, we're finding it's leading to foreign policies that are disturbing to us. So it definitely means something important when Turkey, which is the real dominant emerging power in that region, begins to form a foreign policy not in line, at least entirely, with that of the United States.
Well, we're speaking with Stephen Kinzer, author of Reset, Iran, Turkey, and America's Future. All right, so we're talking about unintended consequences here, Stephen. I mean, the United States supports democracy movements, as you say, throughout the Arab Spring, and yet they're going to bring sort of a messy diplomacy. So what is there an opportunity here for the United States, perhaps?
It would be nice to see the United States try to put pressure on the last country in the region where it still seems to have some influence, which is Israel. It seems that Israel's isolation is stemming in part from its own policies in Gaza and from its refusal to issue this apology for the recent Gaza flotilla raid that Turkey has been requesting. So the Israelis have to reflect, I think, more than anybody else in this region and ask themselves if hard power is going to be enough to defend themselves indefinitely. If they're surrounded by hundreds of millions of people that hate them, is it enough simply to have lots of weapons and an atomic arsenal? Or is this a moment for Israel to begin reflecting on a different kind of policy? I think maybe that's the place where the reflections about the long-term implications of what's happening now are going to have to be the most intense.
Interesting. That's Stephen Kinzer, author of Reset, Iran, Turkey, and America's Future. Stephen, thank you so much.
Great to be with you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.